You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells. This week's rugby story is someone I met playing for Runcorn Rugby League Football Club with mutual friends of ours. Little did I know his extensive knowledge and vision for the game. He'd done some great work for national publications regarding rugby league and was involved in a great time for Widnes Vikings with some great people. Ladies and gents, Mr. Ian Chavot. Mr. Chavot, how are you and the family doing, mate?
Yeah, very well, John. Not too bad at all. Just getting up for Christmas, as a lot of people are, while keeping the wheels in motion, rugby-wise and journalism-wise, and keeping it at the cutting edge, as I try and do.
Yeah, not a lot happening at the minute, mate. Is there all the movements seem to have been and gone, aren't they, and just getting settled for the new season?
Yeah, that's it. You know, I think a lot of people and a lot of clubs have got the slippers on at the moment. You know, I think some of them have come back and are gearing up for next year. You know, a lot of that prep is done in November, heading into December. So, you know, I can imagine some of the professional outfits and Super League will have a bit of time off over Christmas, and then as soon as the new year starts, that's when the brain kicks in. Certainly in my experience, what I've seen, been around a few clubs, and it's an interesting time, is Christmas, because players want to tip themselves over fitness wise, but still, they want to have a good time. And
of course they do.
And I think we'll be seeing a couple of Widnes lads out on the ale as well over Christmas. Why not? By the way, because that's life.
That's it. They're human, aren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah. So before we get stuck into your rugby story, Chev, where was Orman who lived with a young Ian?
What was that, John? Sorry, I missed that.
Where was home for a young Ian and who lived with you?
It's taken me back. Well, I'm from round the Millfield Road, Peelhouse Lane area of Widnes.
Yeah.
So that's where I was kind of brought up. So regular stops to Mary Ballas Chippy was standard. I don't know whether your listeners know a little bit about my background, but I've been brought up in pubs, in boozers, in Widnes. Firstly, the Majors, which I'm now horrified to learn it's going to be some kind of co-op or grocery store or whatever you want to call it. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah, which is a tragedy, really, because that pub was the beating heart of that area. Some of your listeners have been in that boozer. So for it to go through the hands through Albert Chavot to John Boardman to a grocery or a co-op now is bad, really, I think. But
yeah, that's a shame.
So from the Majors, it was the Black Horse in Cronton. So yeah, spent a lot of my time up there, and no doubt you would have been up there with like I said, Wildy, Streety, Tony Fretwell and Phil Dean and a few others from the Runcorn.
Yeah. So how did you get your competitive edge then, if you've gone from pub to pub? Because there's not a lot of green field for you to have a kick about on or a knock about on, was there?
Oh, well, exactly that, John. But you know, it's certainly in my family, you know, there's a rugby league backstory.
Right.
Firstly, my dad was a sportsman. He had 2 years playing football at Wrexham, so there was a foundation there for sport from an early age. And my dad, has been great kind of supporter of my kind of, not just me career in and out of sport, but life in general. And I'm very lucky to have the Crealius name with my family. My uncle Tony Crealius.
Yeah.
Well, he passed away a few months ago. In fact, it's not even months ago. It's probably a year now. That's how quick time flies, John. And boozing the Wids, and Tony was a great man. And you'll know Graham Crealius and Ben Crealius, who were rugby men as well. So you've got that. And then the other side of the family is Andy Gregory. Andy Gregory was someone who was around me growing up. You know, Andy married Dawn, who's my cousin. So we've got that link there, really. So being around sport and being around, rugby league men, it's kind of had a big influence in my life and my discipline and my kind of career and what I wanted to do, not just within sport, but paying the bills.
Yeah, yeah. So
Just because you're around them people, though, doesn't quite get you the brain you've got for rugby league, mate, does it? That toned over time and experience, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it gives you an insight, I would say, John, definitely into rugby league and what, you know, what rugby league professionalism is about. You know, firstly for Tony, you used to take me to St. Helens with me and me cousin Louise, Tony's daughter.
Yeah.
But we've been around St. Helens when he was towards the end of his career. Obviously, Tony was a legendary figure at St. Helens, you know, the Hall of Fame person. So, you know, that was one line in. The other line in was obviously through Andy Gregory, who took me to, you know, I've got a long list of memories, and one of them would be, you know, Andy taking me to training as an 8, 9, 10 year old, you know, to Wigan at Central Park, and, you know, getting the ball passed from Mallory Hanley and, you know, Henderson Gill and you know, Dennis Betts from, you know, these type of characters. Even Sean Wayne was knocking about there at the time as well. So,
yeah.
Bampson, so there's a picture there, what I've got. And I came across it the other week, actually, a picture of myself, Ampo, and Sean Wayne. And being a witness, lad, someone stuck a Wigan hat on me, which is not great, but I had a picture.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so being around those people does give you a bit of an insight into what goes on and what kind of right stuff you need to be a professional. Obviously, you know, professionalism back in the 80s was different to what it is now. But
yeah,
you know, but you look at rugby union, what it was then and what it is now, then rugby league to what it is now, but what it was then. And yeah, you know, that Wigan team, and that was ultra professional. That I was, you know, that's a Wigan team there, dominating, winning everything. But the way they trained, the way they performed, obviously there was a drinking culture, but that was the 80s. But going back then, you know, you still look at the players there, and they got the job done, which is, you know, over a long, long period of time, which is very, very impressive.
Yeah, so doing them sorts of things as a kid, mate, was you going back to your mates and at your junior club and saying, "All right, I'm doing this." So who was your junior club, and how did being around them figures shape how you wanted to play the game?
Oh yeah, it was fantastic because, yeah, we had Andy on the line, you know, with my dad and some of the other dads,
yeah,
having the crack, at, you know, Andy being on the line with his dogs, you know, watching the game. And, you know, I was at Lunceath Lions, you know, from a young age, from under sevens, you know, all the way up to like under 12s, under 13s, when I had to stop, actually,
yeah,
through my school commitments. But yeah, it was an interesting time. You know, our kit was done by Elgrin, who was making a bit of a comeback, actually.
Yeah, the white, the retro stuff.
Yeah, it's yeah. Nice. So we had a little bit about us as a club. We were very, very dominant. You know, people say Hunt Hornets now, and they're the main club in the town. But yeah, you know, back then, in the at my age, under 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s, you know, there was no two ways about it. Lunceath Lions were the dominant force in schoolboy rugby league there.
Right.
You only had to look at the town team to, you know, to see that.
Yeah.
You know, at the starting town team, you know, the 13, I think there was only three on it. So that's the Lunceath Lions lads. So,
right,
George, you know how strong that was.
Yeah. So how was the transition into high school playing club rugby for you, mate? How did you find the difference between playing club and playing high school?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, John, because you know, I was schooled in Widnes.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Liverpool, and you know, it's a very rugby union background in Liverpool, and you know, to play a rugby league lad playing rugby union, you know, it's a whole different ball game, really.
Yeah.
You know, at that age, you know, it was very much about, you know, being the rah rah, kicking it, you know, being a kicking kind of team, really. But,
yeah,
but, you know, and there was a few other business lads as well in the team, and we were all passing it, you know what I mean, and creating the space and,
yeah,
putting in the big hits. And, you know, that certainly got people noticing us. Obviously, you've got witness accents in a group of Liverpool lads. You know, it's not plain sailing.
You've
got to prove yourself, and, you know, that's what we did. And that's when I started playing rugby union, actually, and I stopped playing rugby league.
Yeah.
Because that was through the school. He said, "You can't do it no more." So that was the end of the town teams. And that meant me playing all over Merseyside, and and things like that. So it's the concentration then was on the Daily Mail Cup. I don't know whether you heard of that, John, or not. But
yeah, they have, mate. Yeah,
yeah, that was the main driver, you know. And the Witness lads were the backbone of that team, which is great. And that kind of got me into playing rugby union. I played rugby union all the way through then, until at that point when we launched Runcorn through me ties at Witness Vikings.
Yeah. So the union stuff was it something you enjoyed? Even though initially you were probably forced into a little bit.
Yeah. I think my arm was twisted and to play it because I didn't want to lose me friendships and relationships, what I'd cultivated in rugby league.
Yeah.
But I had to do it, and there's a few other lads in the same boat, and we just did our own thing really on the pitch. And only were trying to coach some of the rugby league skills out of you, I would say, John.
Yeah.
To play more structured and you know, very rugby union, like, you know, a lot of kicking and, you know, let's focus on the line outs and the technicalities, you know, the rolling ball.
Yeah.
Let's be dominant in the scrum, which I totally understood, but when you're young, you want to throw the ball around and show that bit of creativity and skill. And
of course you do.
We did.
Yeah. So what position was you playing? What position were you playing at Union?
So I was playing 10 from the age, from first year high school all the way up to first 15, and punctuated in there were spells at, you know, we played at LSH for a long time.
Yeah.
So I played at LSH because that was a natural.
Ooh.
There was some, that's what it was. Cause
yeah, that's it.
At that time, we only joined Witness through the likes of, you know Liam Wilde and
yeah.
BT, who was saying, you know, come down and have a look at it. So, and at that point, you know, I wasn't a young fella then, so I was fucking... I was focusing on other things in life, so
yeah, that's fair enough, mate. So, coming up to leaving school, mate, what were your options then? Was rugby an option to take up on the field?
Yeah, rugby was an option. You know, I had a chance to go to Salford and sign some terms there, but I just felt, and you know, at the time it probably wasn't right for me, and I was very much kind of a bit of a young an old head on young shoulders because I'd been around.
Yeah.
League people and those people having the right things, having the right bits of stuff, which you keep referring to. And I just didn't think I could do it in terms of backing yourself and earning the, you know, the bigger money. And at that time, there was no money in rugby league anywhere, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was very much someone who respected and valued education, and that was my main focus. So I was on about let's get the study sorted before I even think about anything else, and that's the way it panned out really. So right. Sport was very much from that point, you know, recreation activity and, you know, keeping myself fit, which I've always done. And
yeah,
but you know, sometimes you make different calls in your time, and you know, I think that was the right one for me. Even looking back, you know, it's been great to experience it, but you don't know what's going to happen, John. You know, I was putting my eggs into the education basket as opposed to the sporting basket. And, you know, I like to think it's I've done all right from the back of that.
No, definitely, because you're not going to damage your cruise ship doing your media side, mate, are you? Because back then, cruise ship was a career-ending injury, wasn't it? It wasn't as straightforward now.
That's it, John. You know, like anything, and I've seen many players go down with these injuries, you know, Achilles, you know, cruciate, leg breaks,
yeah,
or compound fractures. You know, your career is over in an instant. You know, and I've seen it where, you know, professional guys who got a lot going for them, you know, they end up in a bad way because they don't know how to handle that stuff. Thankfully now there's more support around.
Yeah,
those people. I think back then and even still today, you know, there's players in academies who are probably thinking in the same lines, do we go for it, do we not go for it, you know, and they've got to make those decisions themselves. But for me at that time, I was thinking, let's get the education sorted first before I do anything else. And
yeah, 100%, mate, because they can talk them into contracts now, can't they, where it weren't applicable for you back then, because you'd have probably got off that a little bit, if we're honest.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. You know, it's all about cultures now, and you know, my view, you know, at some of these academies now, you know, they're a bit of a joke in comparison to what they used to be, and you've got to be careful about the messaging which you're giving these young fellas, because you know it's their lives, you know, not just in rugby union, rugby league, and football as well. And you know, sometimes, and I've seen this on occasions where you've seen lads in the systems where you think they haven't got hope in hell of making it. You know, they make up the cannon fodder, which is, you know, a bit disrespectful. You know, so
it's but they'll have no to fall back on either, will they? Because they've been sold a dream.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, along the way, I've done some talks to schools, to universities, and what have you, tried to give back a little bit and say, you know what, it's not the end of the world if you don't actually make it in professional sport. Absolutely not.
No.
There's a myriad of different avenues you can go down from as a result of learning behaviours and being disciplined and being in that sporting environment, which you can see you're right in on the other side of life. So, you know, it's not the end of the world, and that's something which I've always tried to do as someone in my line of work now, working in the media, to say to people, you know, it's not the end. You know, you're not a professional, but it's not the end. You can still be a professional, but in a different avenue. You can be a doctor, you can be a professional coach, you know, you can be, you know, world class at being a bricklayer, you know, whatever.
Just whatever you choose your field, that go and be the best at, innit?
100%, you know, 100%, John.
Yeah. So leaving school then, mate, when you've put your eggs in the education basket, where does that take you to, mate? And what experience did you have leaving school?
Yeah, well, for me, it was always about, you know, getting your GCSEs at the time, A-levels, and then your degree. You know, that was the route that everyone did. And certainly from where I was at school, everyone kind of did that. It's a bit different now.
Yeah.
With vocational studies, a serious option for a lot of people. You know, you look at the student debt and you know, people in mega debt, 40-50k.
Yeah.
After 3 years study, you know, and some of that could be blended learning, some of that could be learning from home or whatever it is. You know, so you've got to be 100% on your choice. And I like to think I've made that right decision, really, and get myself on the ladder. But having said that, John, When I was first year student, I knew how competitive this industry was going to be.
Yeah.
Even at a young age, I was writing stuff, match reports. Even at, like, you might laugh at this, but I was writing domino reports when I was 12, because at that age, I knew that that's what I wanted to do because I enjoyed it.
Right. So you had an insight real early.
Oh, real early.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know whether that's, That's something that happens normally or not, but it just felt normal for me. And I wanted to kind of be a journalist and work on the newspapers. You know, that was the ultimate aim.
Yeah. So them early days of writing their name, would you have sent them to the Weekly News or whatever it was called back then?
And that's
your first little insight to recognition, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. And I think at the time, Andy had a column from one of the newspapers. But I didn't want to go down that route. I wanted to do it for myself. So we did. So I literally, you know, did what anyone in my position would be doing, is looking to form a, you know, burgeoning media career. You know, writing is try and get a foot in the door, you know, be a pest if you need to be a pest, or do what you need to do to actually get yourself noticed. That's something which I had a few no's, you had a few KBs, absolutely, a few back deals. But it didn't stop me from kind of being determined. You know, the more no's I got, you know, the more I wanted to do it. And in the end, there was a guy called Andrew Kirchner, you know.
Yeah.
I wrote to him. He was working at Widnes Vikings at the time. It was Widnes' first year back in Super League. And that was me. That was me in. So when I was a first year student, got in touch with Andrew and said, listen, I'll work for free for you. you know, for the next 2 years, whatever you want to do, give me a chance. Here's some examples of me copy, of me writing. What do you think? Can you help me? And thankfully, you know, of course, Andrew had a good day and he asked me to come in. I said, listen, you know, look a witness now. I said, Neil Kelly's here, you're here. I said, I'm after an opportunity just to do something in your media department. Could you give us a break? And you know, thankfully for me, the answer was yes. So as a first year student, I had my first kind of part-time job.
Yeah.
So instead of working behind the bar in the student union, I was working behind the bar in my dad's pub, and then in the day, you know, doing stuff for Andrew and Widnes Vikings. And, you know, that was a real, really top time, but not just for the town, for rugby league club, but for me personally, because, you know, being exposed to, you know, a professional outfit like Widnes, and it was at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
People might say that that's not the case, you know, a few years ago when other people had the club, and not now. But
yeah,
when you look at it, at that time, you know, there were some real top people in there, and you know, we were getting really quality lads from down under, and the Antipodeans, and we had good people, and that's about, you know, that culture was there already.
Yeah,
and Andrew said, right, you can, you know, let's start writing some stuff, doing some stuff for the programs, you know, being around some of the press conferences. So I used to do a lecture in the morning, then I used to drive back from Manchester to get to Widnes. And jumping on the calls, with the, you know, Radio Merseyside or Wide FM, who was there at the time, or whoever. Yeah. And slowly but sure, you build up a network. So I became a bit of someone who's on the scene, if you know what I mean. Even though,
yeah,
in it,
yeah.
So from then, I just was concentrating on me work, getting me studies, getting me experience, which Andrew was giving me, and Andrew came up with a great concept called, there's a paper called The Viking Flagship, which was a 16-page supplement which went inside the Widnes Week and Runcorn Weekly News.
Right.
And this was a major, major driver in terms of Widnes back then. The Widnes Weekly News, you should say, was a Bible, not like different now. That paper was a credible paper at the time, and not just from a news point of view, but from a sporting point of view. And the rugby league club was a major hook for readers. So we got what they wanted, which was quality news writing, sport writing about their town team. And it done wonders for the paper. It really, really did. And you look at it now and I think, geez, you know, Widnes is fourth, fifth lead story in the town.
I know, it's scary, isn't it?
It devastates. It's devastating because I look at it and I think, how has this happened, John? Because the Widnes Weekly News was an institution.
Yeah.
And look at it now, and it's not. It's diluted, but anyway.
Yeah.
Going on a different tangent here, but...
very much. It's very much part of your story, though, mate, isn't it? And it was a golden time for the town and the rugby league team, wasn't it? It was like...
Huge.
It's the best time I remember, mate. I ball-boyed that first year as well, and it was magic.
Yeah. It was a fantastic time. And, you know, Neil and Andrew picked the players, and Frank Marley, God bless him, was at the time as Neil's football manager.
Yeah.
So, you know, Frank was doing the bits with the contracts. Andrew was there. Neil was there. You know, and you know, Neil Kelly and Andrew, the people who were really value and still are in touch with. And, you know, that they did no end for me to give me an opportunity. And, you know, I couldn't thank them enough. And that's still the case, by the way. You know,
yeah.
I'm very, very grateful for that. You know, and this is going back to 2002, perhaps.
So, yeah, it was, yeah.
And we were there for a good few years until it started to peter out, really. When Neil got sacked, unfortunately, and then Frank Endicott came in, and that gave it another lease of life. And, you know, Frank was another fantastic person. And some people in my kind of age group and demographic didn't understand what Frank was about, but trust me, Frank was a top. He is a top guy.
Yeah.
You know what he did. You know, for the club. You know, behind the scenes. You know, all this work which people refer to as, you know, the work in the shadows, which is important. And Frank did a hell of a lot of that.
Yeah.
From community point of view, from a player welfare point of view, just driving, getting that culture right. Oh, like it didn't work out in the end, but you know what? he did try, and
yeah,
you know, fair play to him for that. And people have got a bit of a sour taste in their mouth, and I can't understand that. Because, you know, Widnes went down not because they were bottom of the league, it's because Catalans were, had a pass. You know what I mean?
That's what they see, though, Chef. They see that. They don't see the Monday to Sunday behind the scenes stuff, what you were seeing, did he?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And you know what? You know, I'm still in touch with Frank, and, you know, we still speak from time to time, and, you know, the values of the man are incredible.
Yeah.
And you know what? Rugby league aside, it's not always about, you know, he said this, she said that, or whatever. You know, the values of the people, you know, and I'm fortunate to have been involved with some people with great values, and no more other, by the way, than Kevin Sinfield. And it was interesting. Obviously, we all know what Kevin's done.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. You know, I did some work with the Rugby League World Cup back in 2013, and you know, built up quite a tight relationship with Kevin and a few other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasted him a message, you know, after they'd done his mammoth run the other week, 101 miles. I was like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you don't expect these people to come back, but they always remembered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just a human touch, isn't it? Like you said, it's people.
Exactly. And Rugby League, you know, they're blessed to have these stars, and, you know, what our Rugby League as a sport, our sport, needs to kind of understand is how we keep these in the game, really.
100%, mate.
Because they are golden gems. All right, Kevin wants to go and test himself in rugby union, which I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Same token, John Clark. Same token,
Gleeson.
You know, so you see, and Seaball's not a bad lad, I'm told.
Yeah.
Don't know him personally, but, you know, I know John Clark. You know, I've written his column for Widnes for many, many years, and while he was at Widnes, and he, you know, a great guy.
Yeah.
On again, the work, what he did behind the scenes, he brought in a young lad from Liverpool University, a nutritionist, in his first season as S&C coach at Widnes. And people are thinking, why the hell is John Clark the S&C coach at Widnes? But they don't know his backstory.
Yeah. He's
probably the most competent guy in this area of his expertise that I've come across, and he brought this lad over from a Cockney lad called James Morehan. Morehen, I should say.
Yeah.
He just written a book on the nutrition, which shows you how clued up he is.
Yeah.
He's worked for West Ham, England, you name it, he's been there and done it. So we brought this lad in, and I was like, how can you bring him in, John? He's the next best thing. He said, I've seen him, I've been around him, I know what he's about, I've watched him, I know how he ticks. I think he's going to be successful, so I'm giving him a chance through Widnes. Similar to what Andrew did with me.
Yeah.
Lad now, he's writing books. So, you know, it's about, it's all fundamentally, you know, the bottom line is in all this, it's about people, John.
Just a quick reminder that Boydell Sports are our sponsors here at Trot the Egg In. So if you go down to their flagship store in West Bank and quote Trot the Egg In, you'll get a free stud and a 1% discount. You've been listening to Trot the Egg In. Thanks to our sponsors, Boydell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEggIn and Instagram @Trot_the_egg_in.